And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Arcus.
And Brian Keller is actually working from home because the weather's kind of beautiful.
I know. I'm jealous. I'm definitely jealous right now.
Yeah, so, but let's just jump right into it. So our first story, actually, is the Visual Studio 11 user interface updates coming in RC. So this was an update to the Visual Studio blog, and there's a lot of feedback around beta, around, hey, you all made this. I use color for a number of things, like being able to differentiate, you know, the start and stop buttons for the debugger, for example, and among other things.
Yes.
So certainly a ton of feedback. The Visual Studio team heard from everyone, and there was over 600 comments on this post as well. So if you happen to love comments, you should definitely check this out. But they took the comments, and now they've given the preview for what's coming in the release candidate.
Yeah.
So this is a step-by-step beta to RC, as you can see all the different places. And I've been reading the comments on this, and I think most people really like the changes, the exception being all caps and menu items was the one area where you'll see feedback.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like...
But you can read the comments.
I know.
Add your own comments.
The one thing I really liked was the bottom bar when it's building, like it changes color. At least that was the context. It sounded like it did that, which to me sounded awesome.
So there's a lot of stuff, and I think kudos to the team at least when they did get such vocal feedback to be able to make a big change around UI from beta to RC. So definitely cool stuff, and you'll want to walk through that one. So next one is portable library tools. So what's this?
So for people that target multiple platforms, portable libraries makes it easy so that you basically don't have to have the little variants that are required. It's one thing that spans across multiple platforms, whether that's Silverlight 4, Silverlight 5, Windows Phone 7, 7.1, Metro-style apps, .NET 4, 4.5, and even Xbox 360.
This is awesome.
This is awesome. Now they have they added in a lot of new things.
Let's jump to the eye chart here. Yeah, so what are people looking at with blue and yellow?
So the blue is what was there before. The yellow is new stuff. Mm-hmm. Now the key thing is you have to remember some things aren't supported in certain platforms, and that's where seeing this matrix, the little check marks, comes in handy.
Yeah, I was surprised Xbox 360 didn't have JSON, just looking at it in terms of numbers and things supported. But this is definitely cool.
Yeah, I mean it could be for multiple reasons. I don't know. Well, I mean, it doesn't have XML serialization as well, so there could be some parsing engine that it doesn't have.
Yeah,
but,
true.
But it just makes your life that much easier rather than having to build out different variants and wrappers that span across all three.
And certainly we've run into this as well when we were working on a Detroit project where we literally had a lot of conditional compiling.
I wish this
version existed when we first started because it came around somewhere mid-project.
We found out about it mid-project and then it was, I didn't want to risk not, like, basically having to rewrite a lot of stuff.
Well, there were some things it wasn't able to do, too, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that is correct.
So, but anyways, more advantage to folks who are starting from scratch.
Yes.
Now, Hilo is an open source demo application that has existed for Windows 7. The Patterns and Practices team is moving this over and, again, releasing it open source. In fact, the first version is now available for what would the Hilo client for Windows 8 look like. So there's a lot of detail there. You can go to the CodeBlocks project and check it out. I think it's kind of interesting in terms of working with C++, how they do UI. They're using MVVM with C++.
Yep.
They're using unit testing with C++, trying to give like a very fast and fluid experience for a C++ application, and then a number of the things around how they're using async and await for and composition of concurrent tasks. So if you're a C++ developer, this is kind of like your go-to demo.
Yep.
So cool stuff. Now, what is this?
Okay, so this is a amazing, like, the guys went through and ported their app from the phone to Windows 8.
Okay, this is Andreas Hammer, Hakan Rees, and Peter Van Lacho.
I give you credit for trying to pronounce those names because I would botch them all.
Okay, I'm sure I did.
The big thing, this is their what they would do differently in hindsight, and I thought they brought up a lot of interesting things like isolating out third-party components, isolating things like storage and navigation if you want to make your app cross-platform, because no matter, they're going to change depending on the platform. And the big thing that they actually called out that you mentioned MVVM was they were glad on the phone app they used MVVM because it made it very easy to port.
Which is interesting, you know, as you go through process, the async await CTP is available for phone, so you can build MVVM apps that are async awaitable for phone with the idea of maybe moving over to Windows 8 as well, which uses that. So lots of cool stuff going on there. So next story is Robert McLean has a .NET 4.5 baby steps index, and don't let the baby steps name actually fool you. This is a pretty in-depth stuff that goes through how different things work. So the iDataflow.
I'm sorry, I giggle when I hear baby steps.
Exactly. It makes it sound like it's real basic stuff, but. The iDataflow block is just one example, or batch blocks, which is more like a publish-subscribe thing where you're taking a T of an action result and passing it into tasks, or how task timeouts work. So it's actually in-depth data, despite the name, and I think it's going to be interesting to a lot of developers who are looking to do a number of things with...
Can we call it an overview versus baby steps?
Yeah, maybe that's a better way. Get to know a data type, I've heard, is another fun one. So, I think we will definitely dig that. So, which brings us to version and update info.
Yeah, so this is a very useful third-party plugin that you can get through, I believe it's
VS Gallery?
Yeah, VS Gallery, there we go. I installed it, and I'm like, yeah, I totally have the most up-to-date Visual Studio. I didn't. So yeah. It's one of those things where basically I think most people download only the SP1 and whatever the current version is. And this actually helps if there are hot patches out there to get your system fully up and going.
Yeah, this is super cool.
It's literally you click a button. You go to help, go to version update, which is I think the second item from the bottom, and it says, hey, go do this. And it works.
Cool.
It's magic.
Yeah, I love this stuff.
I like the magic button.
Kind of, yeah, for sure. There's something magical about it.
The magic of software.
This is actually the D3 Developers live and interactive event, and Scott Guthrie was talking about cloud-powered revolution. So the idea, probably there's some funny parts in here. Scott basically talks about how the world is changing. It's almost like a How the World is Flat, if people are familiar with that book, globalization and what it means, and then some of the things for how why you would actually care. Because I think a lot of the times people assume, all right, you understand what cloud is, now let me show you how to build it and file a new project versus, hey, why is cloud important, or what are the advantages of it? So like 99.95% uptime, the fact that you're never worrying about patching different systems, the fact that you can easily scale up, and a number of things. And even just, you know, it's classic Guthrie. So he talks about how he explains cloud to his mom, which is always hilarious. So which brings us to...
Picks of the Week! Woot. I feel kind of old now because Wolfenstein turned 20 now. So it's basically as old as I am. Joking. So this is a video with John Carmack. Goes, you know, chit-chat, talks about, you know, good old days, and I think it's a good watch for anyone that likes gaming.
Cool. Very cool. I remember Wolfenstein 3D when it was this 2D shooting little arrows thing. So definitely
like
fun.
I remember Wolf... Your pick of the week. You called dibs.
I kind of did.
Awkward.
Dear. Sorry. Yeah. So the Telehuman app. So this is Queen's University students built a Star Trek-like human-scale 3D conferencing pod, if you will. So cylindrical display, live 3D. It's 6 Kinects, mounted around, and it gives you sort of that perspective of that person floating in place.
So they built a Princess Leia system.
maybe Mirror Mirror on the Wall, okay. But it's also 3D, so this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is so cool, and I think, some people have
done
this before.
You know Jeff's going to put that in your office now.
I think it'd be hilarious. I'll draw like a mustache on him. It'd be awesome. Add some particle effects. Yeah, he won't know what hit him.
He's like, why are you laughing?
But kudos to students. I mean,
I know, that's amazing.
You go from an idea which was cheap hardware, and this ended up being on CNN.
Yeah.
So that's awesome stuff, and we always love awesome stuff. So
yes.
Kudos to those students.
Awesome.
And that's our show for this week. So thanks.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you guys next time. Thank you.